is Go Beyond, the teaching and preaching ministry with Pastor Michael Urisha. Michael is an international speaker, songwriter, and the senior pastor of the Judah Ministries International Worship Center, located in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. If you are ever in the greater Pittsburgh area, please come and visit us. Let's now join in with the Judah Ministries praise team at the Worship Center.
Come on, let's just stay right here for a minute.
So come, come,
To be our comforter,
yes,
and our guide, our teacher, to relax us in his presence. There's peace there. There is warmth and comfort there because he loves you. Oh, come, come, Holy Spirit. Have your way, Lord.
Hallelujah. Do you believe it, somebody in the house? He said it. It is done. It is finished. Oh, we thank God this morning. Oh, we thank him for his holy presence. We thank him for the heat outside. In all things, we give thanks. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, we serve a good God, church. Oh, he's mighty. I'm encouraged this morning. The worship and the song and just meditating on God's word and how everything is in his control. Our God is sovereign. Aren't you glad you're on his team this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your holy presence in this house. We thank you for your word, Father. Lord, we thank you that we could come here together in unity as a body of believers, Father God, just to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we ask now that this morning that you would just touch this earthen vessel, Lord. Use every breath that comes from this body. Use these lips, this tongue, Father God, to proclaim your truth in righteousness and love, Father God. Father, we ask that you would now prepare our hearts, Lord, that we might receive your word, that it might bring forth fruit out of our lives. Lord, even that of 100-fold, Father God. Lord, that we might be transformed even into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. All the honor in the matchless holy name of Yeshua, Jesus, we pray. Come on, somebody in the house, shout amen. Yeah. Amen. And put your hands together and welcome in our global online congregation. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just a little FYI, we did a test run in Haiti this past week for our Facebook videos because they speak French there as well. So we have French translation and we got an overwhelming response. So we're praying about going there full time since we're affiliated with a church down there and we could point them to a direction and into a church. So please just keep that in prayer as we continue to proclaim the gospel around the world. Acts 1:8 says you received power, right? To be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And we take that mandate seriously. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, this morning, we are going to begin a new series on the book of James. The book of James, if you have your Bibles, you could turn it there. The subtitle of this morning's message is persevering faith. How many of you know we need persevering faith? In your bulletins, if you received a bulletin, you should have a study guide in there to kind of follow through, and there's some few notes that you could look them up later if you want to continue the study. But just to give you a little overview and a little background on the letter of James, James, the obvious author of the epistle, was the half-brother of Jesus Christ. In other words, they had the same mother, different father. James's father was Joseph. Jesus's father was God Almighty. Jesus had four brothers total: James, Joseph, Simon, Judas, and two unnamed sisters. Even though James grew up with Jesus, this is amazing, and witnessed his ministry for 3.5 years, James did not become a believer until after the resurrection. Isn't that amazing? Could you imagine growing up with Jesus as a sibling? How come I get blamed for everything? Jesus is never Jesus's fault. How come he's the perfect son, the perfect sibling? He's always right. Could you imagine? He was the perfect child. It makes you wonder, how could have James not known that Jesus was the Messiah? And what did Joseph and Mary think about their children that didn't believe? Because we don't know the other children when they came to faith, or even if they did come to faith. We only know about James. But could you imagine the dinner conversation? I mean, come on, y'all. Didn't you see Jesus heal the sick? He raised the dead, the blind see, the deaf hear. I mean, didn't you see that he walked on water, y'all? I mean, could you imagine that dinner conversation? And still, they didn't believe. And could you imagine Mary explaining to the siblings when they were of age, listen, I had Jesus as a virgin. How many signs do you need? Even before Joseph and I got together, Jesus Christ was born. So I said all that. Listen, there's a point here. To give somebody some hope if you have an unbelieving child or an unbelieving sibling, keep praying. Don't stop. Keep praying for them, because we don't know the moment that God will reveal himself to them and that Jesus Christ as the Messiah. If it took James, the brother of Jesus, till after the resurrection, how many of you know there's hope for your child? There's hope for your sibling. Come on, somebody in the house. So James's letter was written in about the mid-40s A.D., just about 10 to 15 years after the resurrection. Most believe that it was the first book written in the New Testament. Some believe it was Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, but most believe it was the letter of James. Although he was the pastor of the church at Jerusalem, he addressed his epistle to the saints at large, to the church at large, and those who were living abroad, as opposed to the epistles from Paul. As you know, when Paul wrote the epistles, they were written to a particular location, whether it was Ephesus or Corinth or the Romans, the Thessalonians. It was written to a certain church location. However, whether it's written to the local church or it's written to the saints abroad, how many of you know that the Word of God is applicable for today? Amen? Because it is the Word of God. Now, early Jewish historians have James being stoned to death by the Pharisees, the religious people, amen, about 62 A.D., just before the fall of Rome in 70 A.D. So listen, I'm saying that to say this, saints of God, don't be deceived by the spirit of religiosity. Just because people are religious doesn't mean they love Jesus. How many of you know what we do here isn't religious? This is relationship. There's a big difference. We're not about rituals and tradition. We're about loving on Jesus. Listen, religious people hate the truth. So at that time, when they stoned James to death, there was still great consternation with the Jewish religious hierarchy between them and the followers of Christ. And while James is considered a church leader in the book of Acts, when you read through there, he's considered a pillar of the church and even an apostle. He was not one of the original 12 apostles. How many know there's an apostolic gift? It doesn't necessarily mean you're one of the original 12 apostles. The Bible talks in Ephesians chapter 4 about the gifts that Jesus gave, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist. These are all gifts that are given to people today. The theme of the book of James, it's not a deep theological book. It's a very easy read. And it's one of the few books in the New Testament that really do not delve into end time teaching or eschatology. It really doesn't dive in there very much. It's rather a very practical book of how to live a Christian life amongst your haters and in a fallen world. Now, some scholars have labeled the book of James as the book of Proverbs with New Testament clothing. Out of the 108 verses in the letter, there are no less than 50 imperative verbs or imperative phrases. What I'm talking about, in other words, it's filled with more than 50 commands, such as do this, don't do that. Live like this, don't live like that. Treat people like this, don't treat people like that. Are you following me, somebody? Speak like this, don't speak like that. The book of James is filled with practical application for living the Christian life. So it's a letter about living out our faith as a follower of Christ in this fallen world so that others might see Jesus in us. You know, as Saint Assisi said many, many years ago, that we preach the gospel always, open our mouth when necessary. How many of you know our life preaches volumes? Amen, somebody. Amen. So, in other words, we are not to walk like the world. We're not to talk like the world. We're not to smell like the world. All right. Let me give you some notable verses here. We have a couple slides for these. James 1, verses 2 and 3. Many of you are familiar with these. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And we're going to break that one down today. Verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Verses 19 and 20 says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." How many of you know we could put some of that to practice? Amen? "Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." James 1 and 22. "Do not merely be a listener to the word and so deceive yourselves. Be a doer of the word," or do what it says. Next slide. "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but no deeds? Can such faith save them?" Chapter 3, verse 5. "Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what great forest is set on fire by a small spark." Now, let me just pause there for a moment. Has anyone in here ever set their life on fire by a small spark that flew out of your mouth? But once those words are spoken, it's too late. Right? Now you're calling, it's a 7 alarm of fire that you're trying to put. If you would have just, as my mother would have said in Italian, "Stata zitta," shut your mouth, right? If you just shut your mouth, you'd have been further ahead. James chapter 4, verse 7. "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you." Do you feel the proverbial kind of a feeling throughout the book of James? Do this, don't live like this, don't live like that. James 5 and 16. "Therefore, confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so that ye may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." So that's the outline of the book of James. So let's jump into it. James chapter 1, right at verse 1. Then if you want to bookmark your Bible, we're going to jump into Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll get there in a minute. So James chapter 1, verse 1, it claims that, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings," he says. So once again, James is writing this letter to the 12 tribes, meaning the Israelites, because remember, the vast majority of the early church were all Jews. So James is writing this basically to the Jewish church scattered throughout the nations. Verse 2, it says, "Consider it pure joy." Somebody say pure joy. "My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." So how many of you in here, and I feel safe to say it's probably all of you, you want to have strong faith? Let me see your hand. If you want to have strong faith. I mean, you want your name to be synonymous with great faith. When people say your name, you want people to say, "Oh yeah, that brother, that sister is a true man of God. They are a true man of faith." I mean, you want the kind of faith, come on somebody, that will move mountains. You want faith that will raise the dead. You want faith that will heal the sick. But now let me ask you this question, all right? This is the second question. How many of you want to face all kinds of trials? How many of you want to face all kind of tribulation? How many of you want to be persecuted? Come on, somebody. How many of us want to be slandered and lied about and gossiped about? Unfortunately, saints of God, listen. You cannot have one without the other. You cannot have great faith without great trials. You cannot have great faith without great persecution. You cannot have great faith without great tribulation. Let me pull this into the natural. Just as you can't have a hard body, how many of you know what I'm talking about? You cannot be buffed without working out and going to the gym once in a while. Are you hearing me? There is not a buffed pill that we can take. How many of you all wish there was a buffed pill? Take one in the morning with a glass of water and Where were you? Which way to the beach, Sherry? Yeah. But there is no such thing as a buffed pill. Listen, saints of God, here's breaking news. There is not a faith pill. There are no shortcuts to strong faith. You don't get faith in a drive-through situation. Oh my God. Listen, to have a buffed physical body, how many of you know you have to go through the grind? How many of you know to have a buffed physical body, you have to stay disciplined? To have a buffed physical body, you have to have a disciplined diet. You have to be careful, listen, I'm going somewhere, what you consume. You have to break down your muscles before that you can build them up stronger and larger. You have to first break them down. Saints of God, faith is much the same way. First and foremost, you have to be careful what you're feeding your spirit man. You cannot have strong faith and watch all this nonsense on television 24/7. What are you consuming in your spirit, man? Are you hearing me? Listen, how many of you know we have a battle going on in us? Come on now. Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do them. The things I don't want to do, I keep. Who's going to deliver me from this wretched? But God's grace. But listen, every one of us have a war going on within us. It's going on in our spirit man. Every day, you know, Flip Wilson used to do the little thing, you know, with the angel on one shoulder. Y'all, come on, some of you old heads, y'all remember that? The angel and the devil on his whispering in your ear. But how many of you know? I mean, there's some truth to that. Because we're hearing voices all the time, what we're feeding ourselves. But listen, that's like the guy with the two dogs. He said, oh, I know that dog's going to win. Why? He says, because that's the dog I feed. See, what are you feeding yourself? That's how you're going to become victorious. Listen, you cannot expect to feed the flesh. You cannot expect to feed your carnal nature all week long and get one good spiritual meal on a Sunday and expect to live a victorious life. Did somebody hear that? It has to be a steady diet. Saints of God, our faith is like a muscle. It doesn't get stronger unless you exercise it. You cannot have great faith without great trial. Somebody say amen or oh me. Amen. Well, Pastor, I thought faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I thought that I could just sit down and listen to my audio Bible all day long and watch Bible and Christian podcast all day long and get strong. Listen, that's partially true, but that verse where it says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God is in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. You have to read it in context. That faith right there is speaking of salvation. It's speaking of saving faith. Somebody say saving faith. James will address this a little bit later, but there's also a gift of faith. That's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 when God by his Holy Spirit drops into your spirit a new level of faith, another level of faith to believe for something. Has anybody ever experienced that before? When God just drops that gift of faith in you and you know that you know that you know that God has got this thing under control. Come on, am I talking to somebody here this morning? You simply can't even explain where this faith came from because it's the gift of faith for a specific situation. You know that you know. So you have saving faith. You have the gift of faith. But then there's actionable faith when you put feet to your faith. Let me explain. Giving financially is a step of faith. Somebody say amen. It takes faith to sow a financial seed. It takes faith to evangelize when you share the gospel with somebody. It takes faith to go on an international mission trip. It takes faith. Listen, when you're going to a foreign land, especially if it's your first time and you're stepping on that airplane, it takes faith. I'm talking about actionable faith. It takes faith to clothe the naked. It takes great faith to keep yourself pure before marriage. Oh, somebody say amen, please. I'm talking about actionable faith. It's not just believing, but you're taking steps. Let me give you this analogy. I know I've given this to you before, but it's extremely apropos. There's a gentleman, he's going to cross the Niagara Falls, the river, on a tightrope. So they stretch out the rope, and he gets on one end of it, and he goes, big crowd, hundreds of people there. He says, who believes I could cross the other side on this? Yeah, we believe. Okay, so he gets up there and he walks across. A couple hours later, now there's thousands waiting on the other side for him. They're all cheering him on. He said, okay, for my next act, I'm going to go back to the other side on a unicycle. Who believes I can do it? We believe. He says, okay. So he gets on his unicycle and he rides to the other side. Now the crowd has swelled, the tens of thousands of people watching this guy. How many of you believe I'm going to do one more for my final act, go to the other side of the Niagara Falls? Not only am I going to do it on a unicycle, but I'm going to do it with somebody sitting on my shoulders. Do you believe? Oh, we believe. Raise your hands if we believe. We believe. He said, okay, great. I need one volunteer. How many think raised their hand? See, it's easy to believe when somebody else is in the fire, when it's somebody else that's in the battle, when it's somebody else, it's easy to believe at that point. But we need to take actionable faith. We need to put our trust into God. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. So listen, there is saving faith, there's the gift of faith, there's active faith. But in this passage, James is talking about persevering faith. Come on, you know the acronym, push, pray until something happens. Or praise until something happens. Or how about persevere until something happens. So let's take a look over in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the Hall of Faith. The writer gives a list of those who have gone before us and had exercised great faith. They have exercised great perseverance. Throughout, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm just going to pick out a few verses. But throughout Hebrews chapter 11, it speaks of Abel and Enoch and Noah. How about Noah, my man, building a ship for about 100 years. In the midst of building this boat, because remember, at that time, it had never rained on the earth. Never rained. But the people stood around and they mocked him and they were jeering him and they were just making fun of him. And as he continued to build, and I can imagine the people standing by, hey, Noah, what are you doing? There's no rapture coming. Oh, I mean... Well, I hope some of y'all caught that. There's no rain. It's never rained before. Hey, preacher, why you keep preaching about the disappearing of the church? There's no rapture coming. Peter says in the last days, right before the rapture, they will be mocking and jeering those who are calling for the blessed hope. Are y'all hearing me? But they're mocking him and they're jeering him just like they're mocking people today about the rapture of the church. But here it is, saints of God. The Bible says, one day. One day, the Bible says that the hand of God grabbed that door and closed the door to the ark. Hear me when I tell you, if you're watching by this broadcast, if you're mocking or jeering or whatever you're doing, one day. There's a trumpet that's going to sound. The dead dead in Christ are going to rise first. We who are alive will be caught up, will be raptured, will be with the Lord, and so shall we be with the Lord forever. Come on, I wish somebody in the house would give the Lamb of God some praise here. But we're talking about great faith. Noah, for 100 years, Abraham was told to leave his father's house to an unknown land, and his offspring would become like the stars in the sky. In other words, they would become innumerable. Hebrews 11, verses 11 and 12. It says, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age. Okay, just let me drop something here. Sarah was 90 years young when she gave birth to Isaac. Somebody say, ouch. A mighty woman of God, 90 years of age. She was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him, God, faithful. Listen, in Timothy it says, even when we're faithless, he remains faithful to us because he cannot deny himself. He cannot deny his word. She considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and brother Abraham was good as dead at 100 years old. Oh, come on, somebody hear what I'm saying here. Came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on a seashore. Listen, I'm talking about persevering faith. I'm talking about the word of God being firm and true and amen. Somebody shout amen. Moses refused to be known as Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to live a life of luxury. Moses chose to be mistreated. He chose to become a slave. Watch Hebrews 11 and 26. Speaking of Moses, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Let me ask somebody in here, are you looking ahead for your reward? Listen, saints of God, great faith takes a different kind of vision. You don't see things as others see things. People of great faith can look at the same circumstance and see a completely different outcome. How many of you know there were 10 spies that saw giants in Canaan land? They saw gloom and doom. 10 of them saw despair and defeat. They were in the vast majority. Listen, how many of you know God's not looking for the majority? You and the Holy Spirit are a majority in any situation. Come on, somebody say amen. Listen, he's looking for a Joshua. He's looking for a Caleb. He's looking for somebody who will see the land flowing with milk and honey. He's looking for somebody who can see great victory. The spies, they were crying and, oh Lord, we're going to be like little grasshoppers in their sight. But listen, Joshua and Caleb said, if God be for us, come on somebody, who can be against us? So by faith, the children went through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell because Joshua obeyed the word of God and marched around the city for 7 days. He was persevering. He was obedient to the word of God. Listen, saints, all these men and women may have looked like fools in the eyes of the world. I'm sure that many of them were mocked. They were ridiculed by some even in their own camp. They were mocked by even some in their own families. Are you hearing me? Even church folk, sometimes when you take a step of faith, are going to call you a fool. But just let me tell somebody something this right now. Everybody is somebody's fool. I just happen to be a fool for Jesus. How about you? Come on, somebody. I'm going to take him at his word. Hebrews 11, verse 32. And what more shall I say? The writer writes, I don't have time to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson, Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith, somebody say through faith, They conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. Who shut the mouths of lions, they quenched the fury of the flames, they escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Verse 35, women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went around in sheepskin and goatskins. They were destitute and persecuted and mistreated. The world, listen, the world was not worthy of them. Did you hear me? And let me tell you today, if you're walking with Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, blood washed, the world is not worthy of you. Come on, somebody in the house. Not worthy of you. They wandered in deserts and mountains. They lived in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them, somebody say none of them. None of them received what had been promised on this earth, on this side of eternity. Verse 40, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us, they would be made perfect. So the word of God is saying here that the Old Testament saints, they suffered, they were persecuted, they were martyred. They never received the promise, which was Messiah. Remember, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was promised in Genesis 3:15 when God said the seed of a woman would crush his head, that his heel would be bruised, but the devil's head would be crushed. They were looking for the seed of promise. They were looking for Messiah. Yet looking ahead to the cross, by faith they continued on, the Old Testament saints. How much more should we persevere because we have the advantage of hindsight? We see the finished work of the crucifixion. We see the finished work of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Flip over to Hebrews 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are all surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance. We're talking about perseverance this morning. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher, the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So the message this morning, saints of God, if you're weary, don't lose heart. If you're beat up, the Bible says consider Jesus. Amen. Now this passage, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses and throw off everything that hinders us, this is drawing from the great Grecian athletic games, and it paints the picture of an athletic competition in a stadium. How many of you know we're running the race? How many of you know it's time to take off your street clothes and put on some running clothes? Take off your pumps, ladies, put on some sneakers. It's time to get running in the race. It's time to set aside those bad habits. It's time to set aside those useless traditions. It's time to set aside the poor behaviors that are easily besetting us. The Bible says that the home fans are cheering us on. There's a great cloud of witnesses, and in the stands, in the stadium, is Abraham and Isaac and Jacob cheering us on, saying, come on, go on, press on, take another step. There's David, Jeremiah, not David, Jeremiah, but you know David and Jeremiah the prophet. Come on, y'all with me? There's Isaiah and Ezekiel and Zechariah and Zephaniah and cheering us on. There's Peter, Paul, and Mary. There's mom. There's dad. You might have siblings up there. Come on, somebody. Cheering us on as we're running this great race. It's a great cloud of witnesses all cheering us on to win the prize. Come on. What is the prize? It's Jesus. Come on, somebody in the house, give our God a praise. Don't give up. One of the greatest speeches ever in the world was what's his name from Great Britain in the midst of World War II. Churchill, thank you. England was being bombed to oblivious. He stands up before this great crowd to give him a motivational speech. They thought he was going to come out all flowery with this whole big dissertation. This was his entire speech. Never, never, never give up. That was it. We have to have that resolve. We have to have that backbone. We have to have that fortitude. But you have to get strong somehow. You got to feed yourself. You got to strengthen yourself. You got to bury yourself in the Word. So whenever that devil comes at you, no, no, never give up. I'm going to fight for my children. I'm going to fight for my siblings. I'm going to fight for McKeesport. I'm going to fight for Pakistan. Come on, somebody in the house of God. We're talking about persevering faith. We're talking about persevering faith. Let me wrap this up. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4. We just read this. James says, consider pure joy. Pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. I know that's easier said than done. I know it's easy when you just got a raise from your job, or you just met Mr. Right or Mrs. Right and everything is copacetic and all's going well. It's easy to have pure joy. But it's not so easy when you get the doctor's report. Are you hearing me, somebody? It's not easy when you get the phone call and something happened to your child or your sibling or your husband. It's not easy, but the Bible is telling us, listen, during this trial, during this tribulation, my faith is being tried and it's going to come forth as pure gold. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever, not if. How many of you know trials are not an if, but a when? Whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. When you face trials of many kinds, the King James Version says when you fall in. The Greek word here is, it's interesting. It's like you're walking along and all of a sudden there's a hole and you fall in. You didn't even see it coming. Y'all hearing me? You didn't even see this thing come out of left. You had no idea. But the testing of your faith, it produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work. In other words, hold fast, Judah. Call a brother, call a sister for prayer. Choose your friends wisely. Choose friends that are going to speak life and not death. You need to get some Joshuas in your life. You need to get some Calebs in your life. You need to have some people around you that have some faith. You need to have some people around you that have some vision. Don't put all the naysayers around your life and then call them and think you're going to be encouraged in the Word of God. Be careful who you let come through your ear gate. James 1 and 12. It says, blessed is the person who perseveres under trial, having stood the test. Somebody say, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. The Bible says in Hebrews, very simple, without faith, it is impossible to please our God. Because without faith, we can't even approach him. So we're talking about persevering faith this morning, saints of God. We are all on different walks. We all have a different set of trials. We all, come on, anybody have some trials and tribulations in your life right now? Right, I had a little preacher tell me one time, listen, Mike, he says, either you're going in, you're in it, or you're on your way out. But then it's just going to recycle. Because it's life. It's life. But thank God. That's why the writer of Hebrews said to fix your eyes on the next election. Oh my God. Fix your sight on the government. Fix your sight on McKee. No, fix your sight on Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Listen, the winds are going to blow. The storms are going to come. It's a part of life. We all go through it. But where do we go? You know, there used to be a saying years ago, oh, Jesus is just a crutch. That's okay. I'll take that crutch. I'll take two of them. I'll lean on Jesus every day. When I'm stumbling and bumbling and fumbling, come on, somebody. How many know preachers fumble and bumble and stumble? Oh, come on, somebody shout amen and help me. Nobody's perfect. You know, we're not exempt from trials and tribulation. Trust me, when I break the speed limit, I get a ticket. I'm not saying that I ever got one before. I'm just, I don't want you to read anything into that. But listen, nobody's exempt from trials and tribulations. We all go through it. But James is encouraging us to persevere, to push on. I'm telling you, church, there is something to be said about joining with other folk. That's why the Bible says make every effort to have the spirit of unity in the church. In Hebrews 10 and 25, it says, forsake not the gathering of the saints together, as some, listen, are in the habit of doing. Even more so as the, if when you read that scripture, it says capital D-A-Y, as the day approaches, as Jesus is about to split the sky, this is going to be a separation. People are falling out of church. They're going to be lost. They're going to be lost. It's the separation of the wheat and the tares. It's the separation of the goats and the sheep. Jesus is coming back. We need to push. We need to pray until something happens. We need to push. We need to praise him until something happens. We need to push. We need to persevere until we get our breakthrough. Are you with me? Come on, somebody put your hands together and stand with me, please.
I'm going to keep pressing on, I gotta keep on pressing on. I gotta keep pressing on, I gotta keep on.
To proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ.